We would like to thank Aaron and Jake Ebelovitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Lore, Ilui Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, their neshamas should have in Aliyah. For those of who did not realize, I did not realize last week, we put in the bulletin, but we didn't celebrate here in the Perkei Avos Shir, was our 150th Shir. I didn't realize, partially because I was behind in uploading onto YU Torah, where I make my count every time I upload. I wrote Perkei Avos, parentheses, 149, or etc. But I was over a month behind, so I totally lost track. And then when I finished uploading, I realized that we had previously celebrated, without celebrating, our 150th Shir. So I just wanted to take a moment and reflect on that and congratulate everybody here for basically, I think most of us have been here for the duration. 150 Shirim, I did the calculation. I think it came out to around 8,000 minutes of Perkei Avos learning together. A special thank you to Jake and Karen for sponsoring all those 150 Shirim. And we're not done yet, even though it sort of was full circle and fit beautifully because, as I mentioned to you, even though we're going to do more Shirim, the mission that we actually did last week, and as well as we're going to continue this week, for according to many, is the actual last Mishnah in Perkei Avos. So it basically took us, you can argue, 150 Shirim to get through the entire thing, but we still, it's technically a lie because we have to make up two that we skipped, and then we have a few left in the fifth chapter that maybe were added on. Who knows what the actual history of it was? And then we'll do the sixth chapter, which is a compilation of Brysos, not actually Mishnayos, but still tagged on to Perkei Avos, so still fair game for our Shir. But big picture, Mazel Tov. It's been fun, and maybe we continue to learn well together, whether it's Perkei Avos or whatever comes next, whenever comes next. All right, so with that, we are going to review our Mishnah from last week and highlight the important points that we discussed and continue our discussion for this week. If you remember, the Mishnah tells us to be like an animal. Which animal and for what purposes? The Mishnah says, Yudhi ben Tema Omer heve az kanamer. Be strong or bold, brazen as a leopard. Kal kanesher, swift as an eagle. Ratz ketzvi, fleet as a gazelle. Gibor ka'ari, brave as a lion. Lasos ritzon avicha shebishamayim. In order to do the will of your Father in heaven. We spent a decent amount of time talking about just the first one. What does it mean to be strong as a leopard? Whether it means to be brazen, as in, you know, sort of a fighting stance or a controversial stance, as well as whether or not it means to just to follow through, to have grit when it comes to serving Hashem. We broadly spoke. We made two broad points. Number one is that there is a wisdom and a necessity to actually be reflective on how we learn from animals. So we're not going to learn everything from every animal, because there are some animalistic behaviors that we don't want to learn from and that we shouldn't learn from. And we brought as a paradigm the distinction between Rabbi Abraham Tversky's learning from lobsters on how to be to deal with uncomfortability and fight through what it means to be uncomfortable, and that is a valuable Torah lesson, versus we contrasted it to something that Jordan Peterson writes about lobsters in terms of the importance of being dominant, or at least, that's not exactly his point, I'm misusing it to some extent, but the point that lobsters are have a dominance hierarchy, and the strong ones, the ones that stand strong and dominate, are the ones that are successful. And to some extent, again, although there's nuance in how he applies it, some message is there for us as humans in order to stand strong and not be overly timid. Again, there's some truth to that, but we also don't want to misuse that. The purpose is not to be dominant over others. If anything, it's to be sensitive to other people as well. So maybe that particular analysis of lobsters we can do at a different point, but the main message for now is that we have to be careful and considerate in terms of how we learn from animals, and perhaps the way that we reflect on whether or not to use an animalistic behavior or not depends on, look at the Mishnah, La'asos ritzon avicha shebashamayim. Am I using it in order to do God's will? If I'm using it to do God's will, then use it. Whatever that trait is, it's fine. It's perfect. There's no, there's no positive or negative value to a particular trait. It's just about, in terms of its functionality, is it helping you serve God or not? If it is, and it's helping you do mitzvos, it's helping you bring nachas to Him, to other people, etc., great, use it, amazing. If not, then maybe use a different trait, or the opposite of that trait, and that was a message that the Rambam alluded to as well. So today, we're going to focus on the messages that we can learn from Kal Kanesher, Ratz Katzvi, V'Gibor Ka'ari, the three last examples that are brought in the Mishnah, and we might spend a few moments as well analyzing the second and third components of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema also told us, Hu haya omer az panim l'gehenem uboshes panim l'gan Eden, that there's something when we're az panim, like before he said to be az kanamer, well here he's saying don't be az panim, that is arrogance, that leads to gehenem. On the contrast, boshes panim Lagan Eden, blushing, being ashamed, being careful about what other people think, or about what we think, what God thinks, that is going to be something that will lead us to Gan Eden. Accentuating the same point is that Az, that quality, can be used for the good, and it can be used for the bad as well. And then the Mishnah closes off with the third component, which leads the Meiri and others to suggests that this was actually the last Mishnah in Perkei Avos. It says, Yihirat Sama Fanacha Hashem Elokeinu Shetivne Ircha Bimher V'Yameinu V'Senchol Kedem B'Sorasecha. May you rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and set our portion in study of your Torah. We have a comment on Facebook from Avram Mordechai Ben Yaakov. I think that's a Galipter, although I can't see explicitly. It says, Mishlei 30 also speaks about animals. Okay, that's a good point. In Mishlei, throughout, there are various references to animals, as I think we mentioned last week, although I don't remember. Either way, it's worthy of repeating. We learn from ants how to be industrious and how to work together, and we learn from other animals as well in Mishlei. There's a lot of good examples in Mishlei, so thanks for bringing that out. Okay, so now, moving to our other character traits of animals here, we are going to look at, I think we're up to source, we did 5, 6, 7, let's look at 8. Okay, 8 is from the Ali Shor. Ali Shor is Revolbi, it's a contemporary work. Revolbi passed away a number of years ago, lived in Yerushalayim, has many deep psychological insights in his works of Musar that he used in educating in his yeshiva. And here he has a very fascinating insight within the realm of this Mishnah. I will not say too much right now because I don't want to give away the punchline, but the context of this, of where he talks about this and where he works on it as part of his vadim in order to increase the amount of the character trait that he's working on, he suggests that people actually do work, which is something I'll transition to shortly. It's not just about talking about something, there's actually practical suggestions of what we need to work on. But with that vague introduction, let us see what Revolbi says here in source number 8. He first quotes our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Hevi Azkanamer, Kal Kanesha, Ratz Katzvi, Gibor Ka'ari, La'asos Ritzon Avicha Shebashamayim, so be like these animals in order to do God's will. Kan Gilu Lanu Chazal, Ar Ba'as HaKochos HaDerushim LaHashlim Ma'aseh. These are four strengths, four traits that are required in order to complete a task. HaKoach HaRishon Hu Azus. The first is this brazenness or grit, depending on how we define it. Uva Azus de Kedusha HaDvarim Amurim. So he makes it clear that we're talking about a holy brazenness. Shehu Koach HaHizma. Admar Karel Zeh, the Yiddish people can help me out here. Unternamer, what is that?
Koach HaYuzma. Yuzma.
Yuzma. What's the Yiddish?
Unternamer.
Unternamer.
Take it upon yourself to do something.
Okay, commitment.
Something.
Okay, Kolomar. Adam Shieshlo שיש לו מעוף להתחיל איזה מפעל גדול, right? So you have an inspiration to take upon a responsibility, take on a task that you want to accomplish. Initiative. אחרי שקיבל על עצמו לבצע הדבר הוא זקוק למידה של קלות שלא ישקע בקושי הביצוע. So when we take upon something upon ourselves, and we need some level of quickness, alacrity, because when we get stuck in decision making, I'm not sure, so then we end up not doing it. So we need a zrizus. We need a zeal. Ukadesh lahabias adavar lidei gemar tzrichem gevura ari. So we need, first of all, to jump on it, to start it right away, not to get caught up in indecision. Commitment, initiative, do it. And then we need the strength of a lion in order to actually follow through. The nikach ledugma mishakibal atzmo ligmor meseches. Oh, hanhaga l'mshach shan al shema. If you take upon yourself to, Lloyd's talking to yeshiva, bachrim here, but the same could apply to any one of us, or apply to any task that you might be thinking about accomplishing. Take on a long task to do, a big goal, and then, so you're going to learn a meseches, or you're going to fix a particular trait. Hu zakuk l'kol arba kochos eli. You actually need all four of these traits. You need to be brazen, you need to be quick, you need to be swift, you need to be strong, right? You need to be able to do all of these things in order to follow through on the trait that you're trying to work on or the goal that you're trying to accomplish. Nama bezet al ha'ara achas. So he says, there's a lot to talk about here, but we're going to focus on one particular insight. Have a kal kinesher. What does it mean to be light or swift like an eagle? He says, ha'nesher ain't a kal. An eagle is not light. Hu of kaveh. It's actually pretty heavy. So maya kalosho, what is this lightness, this swiftness to it? The hu bal knafayim dolosmar, has large wings. Vein nos oso so bekalos lamaromim. So the wings are able to lift it easily to the heights. Zehu machzeh mayestati, eich shahanesher magbia laof yoser mikol tzipor acheres v'dochev berkia b'knafayim prusos. So the eagle can use its wings in order to lift itself above all of the other birds. Vine adam hu kaved mod. So he says, let's now apply this to a person. A person's also heavy. Right? We're not light. We're not swift. It's hard for us to get moving. Ki afrios achomros gas. And this is a Musar point that goes back to Mesil Sashar, and perhaps even before that, is that we're made out of Chomer, our physicality, our body itself is heavy in the sense that it's hard for us to get going, hard for us to get moving, hard to get out of bed, hard to get committed to something. Alkein lo yachpotz adam b'toreach malacha. We don't actually want to work, right? We want to have it easy. We want to relax. We don't want to take upon ourselves difficult tasks. So we're heavy, like the eagle is heavy. How do we become kal? How do we become light in order to fulfill our purpose, do what's important, lift ourselves above the other birds? Who asher amar Yudim and Tema? That's what Yudim and Tema is alluding to. Have a kal kinesher. Gam lecha adam, you people, us, yesh knafayim glos, you also have big wings that even though you're heavy, can lift you high above. Hishtamesh behen, v'itromam, use these wings and lift yourselves up. So now the question is, what are these wings? What's the secret ingredient to lift us, to give us energy, to get us moving, to accomplish? Umayin haknafayim shel adam mehen hasimcha. Happiness. Happiness. Rav Chaim Vital Kasa B'Shari Kedusha, Ki Atikun Shal Yisod HaAfar Hu Liot Sameach. The way to fix the fact that we're made, again, of this physical dirt, right? The body, the materialism, the materialistic aspects of us, the way to overcome that is through happiness. Sameach Bechelko, be happy with our lot, bringing us back to the fourth perek, v'sameach b'mitzvos, being happy with the mitzvos that we do. Zehu zug knafayim hagun. This is a good pair of wings. Happiness is your wings, not Red Bull, but happiness is going to lift us up and be able to get us to accomplish our goals. And now he says, Hamakir ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa lo kol tzorko, hein begashmias hein beruchnias. And if we realize, and it gets cut off here, I didn't give you the second page here, I'll just elaborate on the outside. He says, how do we get to happiness? So part of getting to happiness is one simple activity, one simple goal that we can work on, even on a daily basis, in order to get to realizing that Hashem gave us everything we have. Remember, that's the key to Pirkei Avos, happiness. Ezu, or richness. Ezu Ashir Asomeach Bechalko. How do we get to Sameach Bechalko? Well, we have to realize that we have everything we need. God gave us everything we need. How do we work on a daily habit to inculcate within ourselves that God gave us everything we need? Well, we have a bracha for that, and we say it every morning. Probably we don't focus on it, or at least I'll speak for myself. I don't focus on it, and I'll read through it quickly, and I'm not paying attention. So I don't actually tap in, always, sometimes I try, but I don't always tap into the power of that bracha. And what's that bracha? We say that Hashem made me with everything I need. Sha'asali kol tzorki. Hashem made me with everything I need. We say it every morning. Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, sha'asali kol tzorki. So Rav Volbi suggests, if you want to work on your happiness, to be sameach b'chalko, every morning when you say that bracha, have kavana, pay attention. God made me with everything I need. That's it. I have everything I need. I don't need anything else. All those other things I think I need, I don't need. I'm happy with what I have. Sometimes, I would say there's two levels of application to this, right? There are some times where this is clear in our lives, and all we need to do is remind ourselves of it. That's the easy application, just being mindful of it. Harder applications do exist when we don't really think we have everything we need, and we have a justifiable case to make an argument that, you know, in order for me to live, I need X, Y, and Z, this other thing that I don't have. Arguments could be made, and discussions could be had, and deep reflections can be discussed in order to figure out if you do really have everything you need or you really need other things. But I would say let's isolate those, because those are relatively rare, important conversations to have. I think for most people, most of the time, if we're honest, it's not even a difficult conversation to have. We literally have everything we need. We have it. And we just want to be mindful of it. And once we're mindful of it, then we get that happiness. That happiness lifts us up and helps us accomplish goals. When we're down, when we're depressed, when we're anxious, when we're all that stuff will keep us away from our goals. When we're happy and we work on that happiness, we realize we have everything we have, we can then go and use these animalistic metaphors in order for us to persevere, to act quickly, in order to do what is asked from us from Hashem. So I think a very powerful point from Rav Volbi, one that is important to reflect on and to think about. And with his, I'm going to use him now for a second to talk about something slightly off this Mishnah, more of a broad meta point. And that is that as I reflect on our 150 Mishnayos that we've done together, not 150 Mishnayos, it's less because sometimes it took two or three Shirim to get through a Mishnah, but the 150 Shirim that we have gone through, I think that we can perhaps learn a lesson from Rav Volbi's approach, which is more emphasized not just on the content, not just on ideas, that's true, but Rav Volbi was very big into what's called in the Musar world, va'adim, where small groups of people would get together, they would discuss their personality traits, they would actively work on it, they would take upon themselves kabbalot, right? They would take upon themselves goals that they would work on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and they would continue to try to grow and grow and grow and grow. So I've been reflecting on this a lot recently, and I think that on some level, it's great and it's amazing, and I'm not, Chas v'Shalom taking away from 150 hours of Shirim here. This is awesome, but I do reflect on whether or not I'll speak for myself, am applying the messages as well as I could be, and I think that there's a different form, there's a different way, there's a different method in order to, as Pirkei Avos, as we've been emphasizing from the beginning, is about perfection is a strong word, but that's the word that the medieval commentaries use. So without the sort of, I guess, unhealthy perfectionism, we'll use the term, right? A striving for perfection, a striving for improvement is a better word. If we're going to use Pirkei Avos as a tool for improvement, then it can't just stop at an intellectual discussion, right? That might help give us an idea, inspire us every once in a while. But in order for Pirkei Avos, or any learning for that matter, to have an impact on us as people, there have to be other methods of application in order to make it more personal, in order for us to utilize the framework, a different framework for application, reflection, personal goals, etc. So I'm going to leave that as a something that I'm reflecting on, and maybe you guys want to reflect on as well, with the explicit sort of foreshadowing, coming attraction of something that I want to work on, whether or not you as a shir and us as a shir want to work on it together, or maybe giving that opportunity to those to elect to work on it outside of this shir, we'll talk about, but to add more practical group personal reflections, goal setting, problem solving, troubleshooting, in order for us to actively work on ourselves and not just think about ideas, but improve on our own and together, and use the power of the group of us, or again, it could be a selection of us, to be able to not just talk ideas, but to actively work on concepts. Something that I want to pursue, and we'll be in touch and talk. If you're interested, please reach out to me. We'll see if we can put something together. I'm working on various ways to do it. But to be continued in that discussion, but not necessarily for now, because I don't want to I don't want to force it upon anybody who's not ready for it or interested in it. So we're not going to do it without the express written consent of anybody who's interested in following through on that more detailed application. Okay, so with that, let us transition to talk a little bit more about these different traits of these animals. I want to look at, we didn't do sources number 9 or 10. I think we're going to skip 9 for now and look at number 10. Number 10 is the Medrash Shmuel. These are a few separate points that he scatters throughout the Mishnah. We'll go through several of them because I think they're important and interesting to reflect upon. So the Medrash Shmuel here writes in source number 10, Uvihiyos ki hayetzer hara miyom tseis ha'adam mirachem imo hu haroa oso achu ben yud gimel. Shana v'yom echad, v'al kein tivo shel adam natui acharav v'chol evarav mishubadim elav. So the Yetzer Hara, so this is, he's going to understand the human nature on some level in a, I would say, relatively pessimistic way, at least as a starting point. From the second that we're born until we are 13 years old, we have this, everything is sort of related to Yetzer Hara. It depends how you understand Yetzer Hara. Could be ego. But because of that, we're sort of starting with a handicap, as it were, as a, you know, we're fighting uphill. It's an uphill battle. V'chol evarv mishubadim elav. Al kein amar havi az kinamer. Kolomar ta'iz panecha kinamer kineged yitzrecha hara. So he's now understanding that all of these traits are going to be utilized in order to fight against the Yetzer Hara. V'kafor b'tovaso lo tavelo v'lo tishma elav. You don't want to listen to the Yetzer Hara. You want to use these animalistic metaphors in order to fight the Yetzer Hara. Ki soveh to'avos b'libo v'amar, because all of these are really, again, out to all these. The Yetzer Hara has many ways to get you. V'kal kinesha kolamar kum barach lecha min ha'yetzer hara. So A, you want to fight against it. B, You want to run away from it. Bekalus gadol, kenesher yof hashamayim. So run away from the Yetzirah as fast as you can. Ratz ketzvi kalamar, barach dodi v'dama l'chal etzvi, k'moshat tzvi kasher hu ratz v'bareach mina tzayadim l'olam, machzir panav l'achorav lirosim adayin hatzayadim ratzim acharav, kenata b'ni af im hakalta atzma kenesher livroach, afilu hachi asher adam mefachet tamid. So he says another point is that, and this is how he distinguishes between the two quicknesses of the Mishnah. Remember, there seems to be redundancy about being quick like an eagle and then quick like a tzvi, like a deer. So he says that there's two types of quicknesses. So again, number one is, big picture, he learns the Mishnah is talking about how we fight the Yetzer Hara. So number one is when we confront the Yetzer Hara, we gotta be strong. We gotta fight it with a passion. Az, brazenness. But number two, the argument, and we've made this several times over the course of our shiurim, is that your best strategy is to actually run away, to avoid the Yetzer at all costs. That's the Kal Kanesher. But he says Ratz Kitzvi gives us a different way of looking at it. Just like when the deer is running away, it's not just that it's running, it's keeping its head, it's looking back to see if the hunter or whoever is following it. So the same thing with the Yetzer Hara. It's not just enough to run away. We also have to be always careful on the lookout to see, maybe we're running away, but sometimes you run away into a trap, right? Sometimes you run away into a different hunter or to a different problem. So you always want to be on the lookout. Never let your guard down, that even if you're running, never let your guard down. And always keep the lookout for the Yetzer Hara. Lolam tachzir panach l'acharecha kitzvi leros him im hu rodef acharecha latzud sayid lahavi v'hinatzel kitzvi miyad. And if you do see him, then again you need to run away in a different direction. V'im lefamim yasigcha v'yifka b'cha menuvol zeh. And let's say it actually catches you. You run away. You try to avoid the Yetzer Hara, but it actually catches you. Hiskaber alav ka'aryeh toref v'shoeg. And that's where the strength needs to come in. So you try to run away, that's the swiftness, but if it does catch up to you, then you need to fight with willpower. You need to challenge the Yetzer Hara head on. And it's an important piece because sometimes we think that we should just challenge the Yetzer Hara head on. But if you follow the progression here, challenging the Yetzer Hara head on is actually your last line of defense. You don't want to go up against the Yetzer Hara head on, because there's a decent chance that we can lose when we go against the Yetzer Hara head on. So the first strategy is to run away, to try to avoid it. But if it does come up that you try to avoid it, but you can't fully get away from it, then we need to try as hard as we can to be Gibor Kari. That's the metaphor. That's the imagery that we want to internalize in order to gain the strength in order to fight the Yetzer Hara. So I would say, just stopping there, using these animal metaphors and the imagery can be a strategy to use. If you feel like you are in a fight with the Yetzer Hara, think of yourself as a lion, right? Have that imagery in your head that you can use that energy and that motivation in order to fight through. And I would say the same would be if you use this Mishnah as Revolbi used it, not in terms of the Yetzer Hara per se, but just in terms of goal accomplishment. When we feel tired, when we feel lazy, when we feel like we don't have the grit to follow through and to persevere, use these imageries in order to push us forward and get us moving. And then he continues, Va'amar lasos ritzon avicha shabashamayim, velo amar va'ase ritzon avicha shabashamayim. So it doesn't say, it says lasos ritzon avicha, not ase ritzon avicha shabashamayim. What's that nuance between lasos ritzon avicha shabashamayim and ase ritzon avicha shabashamayim? So the message, he says, is lo di'anu ki kol elu ha'achanos asher yachin ha'adam halavayo ilulo l'shiyeh mucham lasos ritzon aviv shabashamayim ki asiya atzma bevadai shi efshel lasosa im lo shakadosh baruch hu yase osa v'yigmor ba'ado. So he adds an important caveat and an important point that I think sums up a lot of how we can view our relationship with our attempts versus, you know, what God's in control of. So he says that this is all our, what we would put in probably more common terminology, This is our hishtadlus, right? This is what we try. We need to put in our best effort. But he does say, at the end of the day, we do need God's help to follow through. Especially when it comes to the Yetzer Hara, there are statements of Chazal that say that if the Yetzer Hara, we didn't have Hashem's help, the Yetzer Hara would defeat us at all points in time. It's a very difficult battle. So the point here is that he's trying to balance out from this close reading of La'asos versus Va'asei Ritzon Chavish Ba'Shamayim, is he's saying that that's alluding to the point that this is our part. We put in the effort, but at the end of the day, we also need to realize that we need God's help, and that's where prayer comes in order to surrender ourselves on some level, not to give up and not to say we can't do anything. We must first put in all of our efforts, but to realize that it's also up to God in order to help us follow through and persevere with fighting the Yetzer Hara. Rabbi Shlomo, it looks like you want to say something. Yes, please.
Okay, I think number one, we know that the Gemara talks about the Yetzer Hara is so strong that it's impossible for a human being to overcome the Yetzer Hara unless Ilmale HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Hu Lo Yachol Lasot Et Zeh. So Avicha Shebashamayim actually wants you to overcome the Yetzer Hara, and he's going to help you. However, you have to give to put the first attempt. I'm going to fly up. I'm going to take the highest point. I'm strong because I have those powers, but I don't know how to use them. I'm trying. So HaKadosh לעשות רצון אביך שבשמיים שהוא רוצה שאתה תעשה שתתגבר על היצר הרע, that you should overcome them. So right. If you go to that direction, so maybe it will help.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's it's a good way of putting it. Okay, so now the next point that he's making, and I chose this Medrash Shmuel because I think it sort of highlights and brings out the big points of the Mishnah as a good summary plus additional spin on what we've been talking about. The next point that he makes relates to this tension between when am I Oz, when am I brazen, when do I use these character traits for positive purposes, but also acknowledging that for the most part, as the Rambam formulated in the beginning, each one of these can be understood inherently as being problematic, right? So we are sublimating them, we're transforming them in order to use them for a positive purpose, but things aren't always that simple. It's not so easy to split and to say, okay, here's my brazenness, I'm going to use it for a positive purpose now, and now I'm going to avoid it because it's going to lead to something negative. It's not always, right? Personalities are much more difficult to apply. So with that in mind, let's see what he says. We're going to start in the middle of the paragraph. He says here, so he says, this is based on the first part of the Mishnah says, just reminding us, it says, be brazen. Then the second part of the Mishnah says, don't be brazen. So how do we balance this brazenness versus don't be brazen? So he says, Afsha amarti lecha shete az kenamer, even though I started off by telling you to be brazen like a leopard, hizar shelo targilatz mecha b'midas ha'azos. You got to be very careful not to get that part of your personality as a habit. Af l'dvar macher, for other things. Shrei az panim legehenim, uboshes panim legan eden. Because if that becomes a habit, if you become brazen, if that's something you say, I'm going to use this for the sake of Shamayim, I'm going to use this for the sake of God, that's why I'm going to be brazen, that's why I'm going to use this negative character trait, well, you're actually putting yourself in pretty dangerous territory. Because once it becomes a habit, it's hard to switch it off. Ulefisha efshar denefayik minayu churva, shu mutbayim b'cha, because this could be very dangerous, that it becomes part of you, becomes part of your nature. Because then you're going to end up using it for things that are not related to God. You're going to start arguing about taking out the garbage, and you're going to start arguing about things that, and you're going to say, now I'm brazen, and sometimes even worse, the Yetzer Hara will allow you to pretend and to fool yourself, to delude yourself into thinking that things that aren't Ritzon Avicha Shabbat Shemayim are Ritzon Avicha Shabbat Shemayim. So you're going to think that I'm using my brazenness for the sake of heaven, but that thing that you're using your brazenness might not be for the sake of heaven. And even the even if that's not the case. Sometimes you're just brazen, and it's clearly not for the sake of heaven, but you've inculcated that trait, and it's hard for you to compartmentalize and say, here I'm using it for the right reasons, here I'm using it for the wrong reasons. You just use it. So because there's this inherent danger involved in using and utilizing this trait of brazenness, Alkein hispalel lakel yisbarach shelo nitzarech le'elu hamidos. The starting point is pray with all your might that you won't need to use these things, that you won't need to use these negative, what we can formulate as negative character traits for positive purposes. We don't want to even try that out. We don't want to be able to test that because that can lead to dangerous consequences. Now he says, that's why the Mishnah ends, not how we said before, alluding to the Me'iri, who I don't think we saw inside, but says that the reason this Mishnah ends with this tefillah is sort of this summary tefillah for all of Pirkei Avos, right? We just went through all of Pirkei Avos. Now, God, please build the Beit. It's like, you know, after a long, really long drasha, right? An 8,000-minute drasha. You finally get to, and, you know, may Hashem build the Beit HaMikdash, b'mehera b'ameinu, amen. And then he finally finishes, right? That's Pirkei Avos. It's a long drasha, finishes the drasha, we say Yehi Ratzon, that's it. No, he says the Yehi Ratzon has nothing to do necessarily with the arc of Pirkei Avos, that this is the closing statement. It has to do with this Mishnah. The reason this Mishnah has this little prayer in it is because we want Hashem to build the Beis HaMikdash so that we don't have to use these negative character traits for positive purposes, because it's so dangerous to play around with fire, as it were, to play around with arrogance and brazenness in for positive purposes. So God, please just build the Beis HaMikdash so we don't have to deal with all these things anymore, because it's so difficult to have to figure this out. We won't need this brazenness in order to fight the Yetzer Hara, because there won't be any more Yetzer Hara at that point. This gets into what actually happens in Yemos HaMashiach, which we'll just take his word for it for now, although it's more complicated depending on what approach you take. Give us a portion in your Torah. Secondly, even if the Beis HaMikdash isn't built, we want the Torah to help us fight the Yetzer Hara. That's why we ask for him to give us a portion in the Torah, like Chazal say, Mashchel Beis HaMedrash, bring the Yetzer Hara to the Beis HaMedrash, because that is a good way to fight the Yetzer Hara, is through learning Torah. Although I will emphasize the point that I made before, there often is a disconnect between learning and following through on character and fighting the Yetzer Hara, even though in an idealized state we might say that Torah should protect us from the Yetzer Hara, Torah should help us refine our midos. That is definitely part of the mission statement of Torah, but there are several factors that get in the way of actual application to character. Learning cognitively doesn't automatically transform into personality change, and that's why I alluded to before that hopefully we'll start working on some more personalized strategies and figuring out how to apply these intellectual ideas into our own transformation, if that's what we want to do. Okay, so that's the Medrash Shmuel's second point. Moving on to his third point, he says here, "Ve'efshar shema shekasav have az kinamer." He's telling us about piety. What does it mean to be pious? Most people don't want to be pious. What does it mean? Again, to be clear, chassid doesn't mean it's a contemporary sense of being a chassid with pious, etc. Chassid in classic rabbinic terminology means to go above and beyond, to be extra careful, not just follow the, you know, to use the Rambam's way of formulating it. Usually people go in the middle path. A chassid goes to the extreme in a positive sense. So many people don't want to go to an extreme in the positive sense because they are embarrassed, right? It's the point is you're being extra, you're being different than average. Here's the average, and now this is what everybody's doing, and you're going above and beyond that. Well, going above and beyond that is on some level going against the social grain and social pressure. So there's some embarrassment, there's some ashamedness when it comes to that. Ki kol roav yal igulo. Oh, look at that guy. His davening is so long. And because of that, he's embarrassed, she's embarrassed, so she's not going to go that extra mile in terms of the piety that they are following through on. Al-Kain, Amar Hevi Az Kenamer, Lasos Kol Dvarecha B'chasidus. He says, that's why it says to be as brazen as a leopard, in order to, if you're going above and beyond, don't be embarrassed about it. It's okay to go above and beyond. Now, it doesn't mean you show off about going above and beyond. That's a different problem. But assuming you're not trying to show off about being pious, and you're just actively, honestly being pious, then try not to concern yourself with what other people are saying about you because you're being pious. V'lo tashav mipnei kol v'alche, and don't go back, don't retreat back to your normal stance. V'alchele ka'ase tov amar v'kal kinesher. When it comes to doing good things, mitzvos, be as swift as a eagle. She'elch b'kalus god v'lasos ha'mitzvah kinesher. Yatush alai ochel ki gama mitzvah hu ochel anafsho. And that's what this metaphor of the eagle is trying to tell us. When it comes to a mitzvah, do it with alacrity. Jump on it. Run to it. Don't delay. V'amar ratz k'tzvi al inyan hasur me'ra. And now, if you remember, we still have this redundancy problem. Here's how he's dealing with it over here. On the one hand, we say, Kal Kinesher, be swift like an eagle. The other hand, we say, swift like a deer. What's the difference between being swift and swift? So he says, the swift of the eagle is for mitzvos. The swiftness of the deer is for averos. V'amaratz ketzfial inyan asur me'ra. Run away from bad things. She'barech min aver. B'merutza gedola. K'mo she'tzfi ratz barech. Like the deer runs away scared as it runs. Which is interesting, because when I think of a deer, I think of a deer in headlights, which actually stays and freezes. But for that's not the metaphor that you're looking for here. It's the deer. Don't think about the deer in headlights. Think about the deer that's running away from its prey, from its enemy. V'amar v'gibor kari, and finally, to be as strong as a lion. Kitzarach adam lisgaber ka'arye. Toref v'shoeg l'shaber melitos ol v'lishbor zroa rasha v'amar latsos. So for the, what does it mean to be strong like a lion? It's in order to have this element of strength and strongness when it comes to fighting wickedness, fighting badness, whether internally or externally. And then it finishes up, in order to do v'amar latsos ritzon avichas v'ashmaim l'hazir shleis arev b'zeh shum p'nia chitzonis. And then probably the hardest point of all of this is that all of these character traits that we are trying to inculcate, we are saying do it in order to serve God, not for your own purposes. That's interesting. If you want to get a little complicated, which we are wont to do, there is a, you know, this concept, doing it for the sake of heaven, has really two elements to it, or I said two levels to it. But if you think about it, when it comes to the running away from sin or running to a mitzvah, it's less important on some level. Those aren't dangerous traits, right? So the concept that we've been talking about is that they're dangerous traits, so use them only for the sake of heaven, not for the sake of evil or for the sake of yourself or ulterior motives. Makes more sense when it comes to the brazenness or even the gvura, the strength, because those can be, I would say, used in a, you know, clearly in a negative sense. When it comes to swiftness, yes, you could be swift to an avera. It's true. But I feel like there's less of a danger inherent with telling people to be zaris, right? Be, you know, use your alacrity, use your energy to do mitzvos. There's not really a danger inherent of that I need to go say, make sure you do that for the right, make sure you do mitzvos for the right purposes. It's true. We want to do mitzvos for the right purposes. But it's almost like the point I'm making is that the when we have this warning of do it for the right purposes, it's like there's two levels of that. There's the general, I would say, simple explanation of do everything for the right purposes, right? All mitzvahs should be for the right purposes. Don't do mitzvahs for bad reasons. Again, that's true. That's level one. Level two is there's an inherent danger in what you're doing, the character trait that you're utilizing. So be extra careful, not just your general do everything for the right reasons, But there's extra, you have to be extra careful because with this trait, you are in, you're very close to going in the wrong direction. Right? It's almost like without compensating, without the warning of do it for the right reasons, you're in danger of falling, of using it in the, of actually sinning. I don't see that in that first level. In the first level, it's just, yeah, it's great. Do everything for the sake of heaven, but it's honestly dangerous if you don't. It's just ideal if you do. Here, the second level is if you don't do it for the sake of heaven, you're actually in a lot of danger because you're going to use it for the wrong reasons. And I think he doesn't spell that out explicitly, but I think once you frame it this way, I think you have to make those two splits. Okay. Let's finish up. Almost done with this Mishnah, and then I'm going to leave you off with one teaser of something to work on if you want to. So he's two more small paragraphs here. He says, "Va'achar asher hizir hatana al kol prat uprat mimitzvos Hashem, ata bala teit klal gadol kolel et kulam." So after he gives the four different specifics of how to serve God with these animal traits, he now comes and gives a general statement. Uvo talo yakol, and everything's dependent on this. Vu inyan habusha. Being ashamed, embarrassed, having a positive shame. Valkain amar az panam l'gehenem uboshas panam l'gan eden. Klomar, afilu shetiro so rodev achar ha-mitzvos, im kol ze tikvul aksil mimenu, v'sofu yorosh gehenem, uboshas panam, klomar, mishu baishan,
He
says that it's another important trait. I give you four traits to use, but really the sum up, the Medr Shmuel is saying, one of the most important traits to have is to be embarrassed, to be ashamed of what you've done. Now, again, this is a dangerous concept because there's an unhealthy shame that can come up that people can be trapped in and get stuck in and get depressed with. I would assume that's not what we're talking about here. But to have a self-reflective part of your personality that looks at things that we have done incorrectly, that we can improve on, and feel a healthy amount of remorse about that is essential, I would say, A, for religious life, but B, even for psychological health, right? If we are not reflective and we don't regret bad things that we do, immoral things that we do, unethical things that we do, averos that we do, then we can't improve. So all the Medr Shmuel here is saying is that it's good to have, I'll just insert the word healthy because I assume that's inherent in what we're talking about, a healthy amount of remorse, regret for sins or not accomplishing the goals that we set out to do. That's what negative emotions are all about. And we'll tie this in for a second to what Revolbi said. Remember, Revolbi said our mission is talking about how we accomplish goals, right? We want to use these four character traits in order to, if we set a goal for ourselves, to persevere, to do it quickly, to go and use our wings, our happiness, in order to accomplish those goals. That's what Revolbi said. That's using positive emotions in order to propel us towards accomplishing what we want to accomplish. That's how emotions work. Right? One very popular emotion theory is that emotions are our body's way of telling us whether or not we are doing what we are supposed to do or doing what our goals are trying to. We set a goal. If we do it and we're on the road to doing it, then we feel positive emotion. It creates a momentum that propels us towards and forwards towards that goal. If we have any indication away from that goal, that creates a negative emotion that signals to us that we are not accomplishing our goal. Right? So take, for example, if you're trying to you're trying to do something, it could be a small goal, big goal, etc., and now somebody gets in the way of that. Right? So you want a silly example, you have a goal, you want to park in a spot on the street, and then somebody you know, swerves in and, you know, quickly gets that spot right before you. You had a goal of parking, and this person blocked that goal of you parking in that spot. Well, that's going to cause a negative emotion, usually a frustration or anger. Anger is often towards that person who got in the way of your goal, blocked your goal, and that's where that negative emotion comes from. If you're trying to get a, you know, pass a test, you're trying to get somebody to get on board with you in a pursuit of something that you're trying to accomplish, and they say no, well, you're going to feel sad, because that sadness is a indication that you have not reached that goal, or at least that you are struggling in reaching that goal. So the negative emotions are indicators, signals that we're not reaching the goals, and positive emotions are signals and indicators that we are on the road, or that we've actually accomplished and reached that goal. So because of that, a negative emotion of remorse, when we have a goal, when we want to do a mitzvah, when we want to accomplish something good, and we fall short, it's healthy, it's normal that we feel bad about it. And what is that bad, what is that feeling, remorse, guilty, sad, frustrated, what is that supposed to do? Well, the answer is that's supposed to signal to you to go do better. go try again. Or go, at some points, go rethink your goal, depending on what we're talking about. But this is part of a healthy system, a healthy emotional system of remorse, of busha, of embarrassment, of I can't believe I did such a thing, is supposed to then tell us and propel us to let me put in the systems to not do it again, right? Let me do tshuva so that now I can actually work on accomplishing that goal. So what I think the Medrash Shmuel here, I might be making it bigger than it is, but I think that the inherent, it's essential what he's saying, is that this Mishnah ends off by saying, make sure that you don't suppress any feeling bad about doing something that you did wrong. No, acknowledge it. Don't be afraid of feeling bad about doing something wrong. That's supposed to then, but don't get depressed about it where you then don't work on it. The negative emotion is supposed to signal to us to propel us forward in order to work on fixing what we are trying to accomplish. That's an essential point. And he says that's why we have this az panim legehenem and boshes panim legan eden. When you have that healthy negative emotions that help you propel yourself forward towards working towards goals, signaling that you haven't accomplished a goal, propelling you forwards towards that goal, that's essential to our religious and psychological lives. And then he finishes off. Ulafishu amar shlo olam yiskavin lasos ritzon aviv shaba shamayim lefamim efshar shiyita hadayin ki yachshov shu ritzono yisbarach ve'eno kein. Very dangerous things we're talking about in this Mishnah, right? You think, you justify, you rationalize the thing that you're doing is for the sake of heaven. But it's anal cain. It's just not true. It's just not true. You've deluded yourself. I've deluded myself. Al cain, lahotzi mishkia, in order to avoid that, hispalel, we need to daven. V'amar yiratzal mufanecha, shetivna ircha b'mher b'amenu. To give us the wisdom, as the pasuk says, we need that wisdom from God. We need to pray that we make the right decisions, that we don't delude ourselves into thinking that we're doing the right thing when we're not. And I would say just being reflective of that is a huge step in the right direction. Because a lot of people don't even take a step back to think, maybe I'm not actually correct here in the way I'm utilizing this concept or the way that I think that I'm serving God here. Just taking a step back to reflect and say, have a humility that I might not know for sure what God wants in this situation is really important. And then that second step of davening and asking for the wisdom in order to figure out if this is something to use these character traits that sometimes have negativity associated with them and can lead to bad character if they become habit, to have that wisdom and that humility to take a step back and reflect and to hope and daven that we get the wisdom to make those right choices is really important. So to summarize the Mishnah has a host of different explanations, important explanations of what does it mean to utilize these animal traits for the positive and how to avoid using them for the negative, whether or not I would say I would summarize it in two boxes. We have we'll start with the more negative box, which is the Yetzer Hara can get us, can trap us. We want to use these strong traits, whether it's swiftness, brazenness, strength, in order to fight the Yetzer Hara. That's box one. Box two, I would put in the positive side, is that not just when it comes to the Yetzer Hara, but when it comes to things of accomplishments, serving Hashem out of the ases, not just the low ases, not just avoiding sin, but actually accomplishing things in the positive. These are traits that we would want to visualize and utilize in order to follow through and persevere in the goals that we have. So I'm going to close with a recommendation or thinking. This is not exactly how the more reflective piece is going to work if we decide to go in that direction, but it's a little taste of it. Number one is to reflect on your own lives. Think about either in terms of the struggles, the negative side of this, the struggles, the Yetzer Hara, the temptations that we might be struggling with, and pick one of these images, one of these animals to have in your mind when you're fighting the Yetzer Hara, to see if that imagery can give you that strength. It's not going to solve all your problems, but one added strategy to give you the strength in order to persevere against the Yetzer Hara. Or on the flip side, if there's a goal we're trying to accomplish, again, use this imagery to try and motivate you to follow through on that goal. So those are two possibilities. But I would tell you a third possibility, which is sort of taking a step back and being a little more, I would say, creative with this Mishnah. And I alluded to this all the way in the beginning of last week. So there's a interesting book for teachers. It's called Onward. It's written by Elena Aguilar. And there's two volumes to it. There's one is the book, and then there's the workbook. So I have here this huge, gigantic workbook of strategies to work on for teachers to help their own social and emotional growth throughout the year. It's daily strategies in order to reflect and to work on themselves. So in one of them in the first month, it goes by month. It has, I'll just read to you briefly. It has I came across this yesterday when I was reading, and I thought this is perfect. It's called this one's called I Am a Leopard, or ... So it says here, leopards are noble, courageous, and confident. And it's pretty crazy. This is our Mishnah, right? Azkenamer. Leopards are bold, are noble, courageous, and confident. Eagles have grace and perspective. I can't imagine. It's too overlapping with this Mishnah to not have some sort of comparison. Owls, okay, we don't go with owls, but she says, owls are symbols of wisdom and equanimity. Bobcats are tenacious. Hummingbirds are pollinators. So she says, reflect on the animal that you like to be at work or in your life. Perhaps one comes to mind immediately, or perhaps you could do some research and reading on characteristics of animals and then decide on one. Allow this thinking and exploration to be a reflection on who you are and who you want to be. After some reflection, she says, draw your animal here or paste in a photo of it. Add some words to the name of the qualities of the animal that reflect aspects of yourself or who you want to be. Right? So this is, again, one example of strategies of how, if we are going to work on this, if we want to work on these traits or work on the strategies of Pirkei Avos or Musar or whatever we're talking about, it's not enough to just stop at the shiur, at the learning, at the ideas. There has to be a reflective piece. Otherwise, it literally goes in one ear and maybe even remembers the idea, but it doesn't get internalized and inculcated, which I would argue is the goal of Pirkei Avos, so might be something we want to reflect and think about. Okay, with that, we'll stop this year. We will next week I think what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the two Mishnayos that we skipped, just as a trigger warning. They are intense in their... the reason we skipped it, if you remember, was because there's two Mishnayos that deal with, you know, why bad things happen in the world, right? So for various things that we're punished for and etc. It's a little intense. I hope to explain it in a way that is clear and as inspiring as can be without getting too down and depressing. But it is important to learn the words of Chazal. There's a time and a place and an application for everything. So we'll learn it. And then we have two more Mishnayos to do after this in the fifth parak. And by then, we will be done with the fifth chapter. So around Pesach time, we will probably be completely done with the fifth, and then we'll transition to the sixth chapter after that. Okay, any questions, reflections, thoughts?
Thank you, Rabbi Schiffman.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a nice day, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good day. See you next week. Hello, everybody on Facebook. Good day to you.